Chapter 16, Rogue. Keegan jumped up, placing herself between the newcomer and me.
Kano, what are you doing here?
Primaris Lucian Kano held his force sword at the ready, its tip aimed at Keegan's throat. He flipped a strand of blonde hair out of his crystal blue eyes. The man had left his helmet behind for the sole purpose of showing off his looks, forgetting the three parallel lines of dried blood, crossed by a fourth, that adorned his pretty face. Wearing a filthy silver-edged Imperial Guard uniform, he struck a confident pose. I knew a dog when I saw one, and an outright traitor. Kano's blood-stained finery was a taunt of twisted authority. While we might have had enough common ground to sort our differences, the fact that he was drooling over the sight of Keegan Bast was a deal-breaker. Keegan had taken the lead and in doing so, had probably saved my life. Now she needed to get the Feth out of the way. A force weapon was lethal in the extreme, and I had no doubt the Primaris would go right through her if he perceived the threat was real enough. I stuck to a simple script. Warrant Bast, do you know this man?
Stow it, Five. I've got unfinished business with the Primaris.
Primaris? I chuckled. Quit pulling my chain. He's too young and pretty for that. In his late 20s, Kano had to be immensely gifted to be wearing the markings of a Primaris savant at such a young age. He would have been my commanding officer in Gaul if he hadn't gone rogue.
Warrant Bast, tell your pup that he's not my type.
I was Kano's type, but he didn't know it yet.
I thought I was your type, Lucian.
Keegan's enticing tone had a powerful effect, as did the fact that she'd removed her helmet, dropping it on the floor at her feet. Auburn red hair danced across her shoulders, and I wasn't the only one to notice. Kano took one careful step closer.
Keegan Bast, who said you aren't? I've got a comfortable spot in the Secundus Overhive if you're interested. The Bloods keep their distance.
Before Keegan could reply, I answered for both of us, asserting my will through the arc shield that jumped to life between them.
So you found yourself another funnel?
Kano paused to take a second look.
Tell me this isn't his first war.
Keegan crossed her arms.
Of course it's his first war. Do I look happy having to lead him around by the nose?
It was a defining statement, and Kano made it all about himself.
We did some great things together, you and I. Without your incredible kick, I might have never made Primaris.
You owe me, Lucian. Put that sword away and let us go.
I'll let you go on one condition.
Kano pointed over Keegan's shoulder.
Burn him.
He's a pup. Leave him.
I said burn him.
Kano's hand shook as he aimed the tip of his sword at Keegan's chest. Keegan was on my side of the wall. The psychic barrier might stop the force sword's blast, but I couldn't risk it. I held perfectly still, letting my voice do the shaking. Don't do it, Bast.
Sorry.
Was all Keegan would say as she turned and plastered me with pyromantic fire. The word smite came quickly to mind as the goddess that was Keegan Bast made her play. I did what I always do when faced with a smoking hot woman. I fell to my knees and cowered, screaming, No! It wasn't a pretty sight, but Lucian Kano seemed completely enthralled. Suddenly I was exactly his type. As Kano waited for the drawn-out execution to end, his sword arm tired, dropping to his side. In an instant, the shield wall between us shifted shape, a cylinder fitting tightly around the rogue Primaris. Kano's arms were locked in place, his power sword pointing at the floor, and I was aiming starfire at his forehead from 10 feet away. Keegan slumped to the floor as her fire went out. She was spent, and I was full. A first for me. It was my turn with Kano. I tried to remain calm. What does the bloody sigil on your face mean?
It's the mark of the Bloodthorn Sarkis, the one that comes. I've been chosen by its host, and you will do well to let me live.
I tried not to laugh. Kano, have you ever met a demon host? If there was one thing I would recognize in the dark reality around me, it was the presence of a warp entity, or its active mark. Being mostly human, psychers were aberrations that could cast complex warp spells. A curse might mimic an entity of the warp, but it was merely energy and control tied together in a desperate mind. Primaris Lucian Kano had fallen for the cultist's lies. The blood marks on his face were merely blood and nothing more. He'd been set aside and didn't even know it. Kano had been careful enough until I went full wuss. With Starfire staring him down, he offered me a modicum of respect.
Who the Feth are you?
My name is Five.
Who's your Primaris?
I don't have one. The Feth turned traitor.
We all have our own choices to make, and I made mine.
You killed one of mine outside Gaul Primus.
I killed every one of mine outside Tertius, so why do you think I care?
It was a solid point. I made one of my own. Keegan didn't die. Spinning a grimace into a smile, Kano hissed,
Millie breathing doesn't establish life. Can't you see she's broken?
Keegan didn't look up at either of us, but soldiers keep their heads down for many reasons. She had seen enough. I aimed the tip of Starfire at Kano's chest. Any last words?
Aitor the Bull is coming. You would do well to stay out of its way.
Who's Aitor?
Your worry, not mine.
He was fighting now, using his dwindling auric shield to hold back my ever-tightening grip. He was strong and might have defeated Kane's crew in an arm wrestling contest, but I was amplifying the power of a telekinetic arc and wielding the essence of the Firehead. It was time the rogue paid for his poor end-of-life decisions. The morning's earlier outburst had shredded 3 square miles of Ground Zero in an instant. Focusing on the man inside the silver-trimmed uniform, I unleashed Keegan's wrath slowly, allowing the Primaris time to realize that his awesome power wasn't sufficient. Kano's air and moisture boiled away, his hair and pretty blue eyes blackened. In the end, compressed into a charred, lifeless statue, Lucian Kano stood his final watch in the High Temple's courtyard. A glowing hot power sword waited on the ground at Kano's feet. The force weapon had been custom crafted for his mind and tuned to his channeling ability. Once the kill was confirmed, the artificers of the Imperial Guard would recycle the priceless adamantine blade. The bark of a hellgun hit the charred body squarely in the chest, blowing the statue into a cloud of carbonized dust. I coughed. Olivia, what the feth was that for? Preston's hands trembled as she rechecked the charge of her weapon.
He wasn't my type. Too pretty for his own good.
I rechecked my chin strap. That's why I keep my helmet on. I could never have enough reserve, but I shunted the bulk of Keegan's rampant donation into the names behind us, feeding their silver glow. Another seed had been planted to counter the Bloodthorn's source of power. Primaris Lucian Kano had rebelled, and instead of the power he'd been promised, he'd found only bitter desperation. The Bloodthorn had decided not to share after all, keeping a pet with blonde hair and beautiful blue eyes in the penthouse of Gaul Secundus. The end result was one less Imperial Guard Primaris. Nobody got the win. A deal with chaos was never square. How Kano never figured that out was beyond me. He might have lived a sheltered life, but as a psyker, I knew better. The cosmos was awaiting his arrival on the far side of the veil. All he had to do was knock. Keegan's hand found mine.
Kano's uniform would have looked good on you.
Kano was lost, unpredictable, tottering on the edge of insanity. I'd been there once, and wore the uniform of a savant grunt because of it. There was a lesson in there somewhere, but I had more pressing concerns. Keegan, are you okay?
I am now.
Kano was ugly where it counts, but you knew that. You played him perfectly. I reviewed the encounter in my mind, trying to discern his aim. Kicking through the pile of black ash, I found another casualty. A heat-warped badge foundered at my feet, its skull an omen of things to come. While the majority of the Upper Hive's population had been herded into the lower sectors, many had been executed and hung out to dry. This left the towers of Gaul Secundus hauntingly vacant. The elegant array of silent tombs didn't compare to the macabre, blood-strewn reaches of Lower Tertius, but it hit closer to home. As the son of a PDF general, I'd grown up in the Overhive sector of Hydra Secundus on Fulcrum IV. My path had been set. I was supposed to follow in the footsteps of my older brother Ramsay, serving in our father's domain. Now, scouting through a city where so many footsteps had been erased, I realized I'd done it, but on my own terms, and in a totally different reality. I used the Adeptus Arbitus tracking device to confirm a dozen more bodies, each of Noble House stock. The emergency tracking implants could remain active for years. As for the bodies, a mummification process had set in due to the air handlers of the Hive's controlled environment and the initial bloodletting. Beyond that, our search had found nothing of use. Preston was growing edgy.
Five, what are you looking for?
A better way out? A reminder of who I once was? I'm not sure. Maybe I've already found it. I stepped closer to Keegan. What do you think Kano wanted? Olivia shrugged.
Besides power and complete control?
As a Primaris, he should have had plenty of both, but it hadn't been enough.
If he wasn't satisfied with being a Primaris, what's the next step beyond that?
A god of war? Keegan shocked us both with her answer.
Close. He wanted me.
I'd known plenty of women that were out of my league. Keegan Bast was most certainly one. But I'd never considered choosing the path of chaos to impress them. My world was dark enough. Keegan, Lucian Kano might have been a Primaris, but he was never on your level. He was right about your incredible power.
Kano took my power, but he wanted my soul.
The soul of a goddess? Would any man be so foolish? Would any man dare?
I know one fool beyond all the others.
Keegan leaned forward, undoing my chin strap and lifting my helmet off my head.
A silver fool.
I'm a slave, not a fool. I thumbed the tarnished collar, knowing that every aspect of my being was spoken for. Was I bitter about it? Just ask Lucian Kano. Whatever his goal, Kano had ended up as a charcoal statue and a mound of dust. His future clung to my boots. I'd fought hard against the claims of unreal entities to preserve my soul when even my mind had seemingly fled. The Ordo's rite of banishment had freed my soul from the warp marks, yet I yearned for more. My comeback was never complete. There was one last mark upon my body, one that wringed my neck and twisted my outlook. It backed me into a corner and named me Five, tempting me with thoughts of who I was or what I could become. Five was a Fether, an unstoppable killer. Keegan slammed my helmet into my gut.
Buckle up and be glad that I've got what I want. Don't show me that face again.
I caught her and caressed the back of her neck. The small scars showed where her implants had once been. There was a good chance she'd get the channeling devices back after this war was over.
What do we do now?
Olivia Preston continued to wilt beneath the curse. We'd taken three huge steps in reclaiming Secundus. Claiming the heart of Sector 00 and the High Temple would loosen the Bloodthorn's hold and limit its power. We would need to do the same in Sub-Zero, planting fields of parasitic silver energy. Destroying the rogue Primaris was a critical third act, saving our lives and removing an untethered primary threat. Lucian Kano's star had faded. He'd been a finite threat with a finite budget of power. He couldn't decide whether he was a soldier or a kidnapper, and he'd chosen wrong at a critical point in his career. Beyond his failed attempts at switching sides and leaning on Keegan, he'd sallied forth, killing Rasa and leaving me no choice. This was my first war, and it had taken me longer than expected to arrive. I'd been going through the motions from inside a cocoon, trying to protect my own stark reality. Lucian Kano had gotten things right in one key way. We all have our own choices to make, and as the day wore on, I made mine. There was no going back.